and culture around the clock. We're on 24/7. And the only way you can do that is with your support. The right level of support for you, we don't know what that is. We know that money is tight, has been tight for a long time. And so, but we want to make it not too difficult for you to support us. Everyone's contribution makes a huge difference, and we're asking you to join the many listeners who have become members right now. You can donate online by going to kboo.f-m, or you can call toll-free at 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and so if you donate just $5 a month, you'll have your choice of two books we have by Amy Goodman. One is titled The Silenced Majority, and the other one is called Democracy Now, 20 Years Covering the Movements Changing America. Again, both books are by Amy Goodman, and Amy Goodman is, of course, the person on Democracy Now!, which KBOO airs just before our evening news. So for $5 a month, you can have your choice of either of those two books by Amy Goodman. If you have a bit more disposable income, if you donate $2,000, you'll get dinner and a show with Amy Goodman in New York City. You and a guest would get to share a meal with Amy and then view a live broadcast and meet the team that produces Democracy Now! In their New York City studios. You get to enjoy a tour of their state-of-the-art facilities and spend time with Amy Goodman, who is one of the world's premier independent journalists. So call now, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm and click Donate Now.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO this evening, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Linda Olson Osterlin, your host for this segment, and I have in the room with me two guests. I want to tell you a little bit about them first, though. I was at May Day, at the protest at May Day, and down at the park at May Day, and there were many great speakers and also people performing, and a woman took the stage, or not really a stage there, but took the microphone and was introduced, and she told a story through a translator that her son has been locked up in the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma for over 6 months. And so and she actually called on all of us out there listening to her to try to support and help her son so that he does not get deported. And so I was very interested in her story, and I know that it's important for you, the listener of KBOO, to hear the stories from the people that they're really affecting. And that's what I wanted to bring to you today in depth. So I have with me Josefina.
Hi.
Welcome, Josefina.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I have her son, William. William, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
They're two members of a family. Jonathan is their brother and son. And why don't you tell us a little bit, before we talk about Jonathan and his detention, Josefina, if you can, tell us a little bit about, like, why did you come to this country and how long ago was that?
Dice ella que, ¿por qué vino a este país y cuánto tiempo tiene eso?
Nosotros llegamos desde el 99.
She arrived in the year 1999.
Y viene buscando oportunidades para mis hijos.
And she came here seeking better opportunities for her children.
Okay, and so you've been in this country for all those years, 99 is quite a while ago, and raised your family. You have another child as well, a daughter, American citizen born here, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And William, you how old were you when you came with your mom to this country?
I was 6.
Oh, wow, a little boy.
Yes.
And how old was your brother Jonathan?
He was 8.
So can you fill us in a little bit on growing up here, knowing that you didn't, I don't even know if you knew you didn't have documents, but you knew you didn't speak the language when you first arrived.
Right.
And going to school. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you grew up and I think it's a typical American story, really.
Yeah. Well, we came here and at 6 and 8, we came here to a small town in a small community in Dayton, here in Dayton, Oregon. And, well, we grew up there our whole lives. We've been there for over 16 years. We attended school in Dayton, Oregon, right there at the grade school, and worked our way up all to high school. We graduated high school and attended some college there at Chemeketa in McMinnville, right there in Yamhill County.
And both you and your brother are DACA students. That's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals.
Yes.
And that's a immigration status that was brought into being so that people like you and your brother could go to college, go to Chemeketa College.
Right.
And so you guys both attained that status with help, I am assuming?
Yes. By attending school, having great record, clean, just being doing everything right can grant you that, and having good grades and just being in school.
And so you both have gotten that status. But
yes.
So take us back to, you know, so in many ways you're a typical family, and I do want to mention, Josefina, you've worked all these many years. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. What type of work do you do?
¿Qué tipo de trabajo usted hace?
Trabajo en un restaurante.
She's she works at a restaurant. She's
soy cocinera, cookie.
She's a cook at a restaurant.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I used to do restaurant work, but I was never a cook.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough at the cooking part. And so, like most immigrants who come to this country, you've worked, you've gone to school, and you've paid taxes. Is that
right?
Everybody paid taxes?
Yes. Yes,
and I understand that your brother Jonathan also has been employed for many years.
Yes, that's correct.
When did you guys first start working?
Well, we started working at the picking strawberries, blueberries at a young age. We were at least, I was 10, my brother was 12 when we started working, and just trying to make a little money. So my parents was teaching us how to, grow up making money by working and working hard, and just if you want something, you have to work to get it. So that's what she taught us. So that's why she started making us work,
yeah.
And at a young age, so we can keep it up at that pace.
I understand. I worked in the strawberry fields one season only, and then I went to babysitting. But yes, my mother had that same kind of feeling about it. So here you are. You know, of course, that the deportations have been increased in the many last years, and I assume that was a little bit of worry to you. Did it ever seem like a big worry?
Yes, since especially I worry mostly for my parents, mostly than myself. The reason being, I don't have a lot of worries for the reason being that I'm a DACA holder, just like many other people. But there are many other people that don't have the status that I have. So they do fear on being under the circumstances that they don't have mostly legal status or proper documentation. So they do, yes, it runs through our head that something could happen or something could just go wrong, and we just don't know. So it does cross our minds most of the times.
Yes, I understand. I did read some statistics from a Pew study that was done in 2014, and it said that in Oregon we have an estimated 40,000 U.S. citizens. So this would be like your little sister who was born here.
Right.
Or Jonathan has a daughter also who's a U.S. citizen.
Yes.
As well. That there are over 40,000 U.S. citizens in Oregon who are at risk of having their parents deported.
Right.
Which is a terrifying prospect. Well, let's talk about how it ended up that Jonathan got picked up by ICE. Why don't you tell us briefly what happened with that?
It was a DUI case. In most cases, it wasn't a big situation, just that he was... He had a DUI, had an accident involving his own vehicle. Nobody was hurt severely. He went to, he did everything he was supposed to do in court. Court decided to drop everything to minimum due to the case that he has never had any record of any violence or criminal record at all. So the court decided to drop everything to minimal and just all misdemeanors for that being. He did everything right. He went to court. He was always at court, attended a court, all to his appointments, always there, present, being there. And he paid all of his fines, fees, and it was all set to being done and attending alcohol classes. Well, the first alcohol class that he was there, that he was supposed to attend after everything was already said and done by the Yamhill County, ICE was already there waiting for him to...
So ICE showed up at the alcohol. They were prepared to take him, even though they knew that he had finished and completed all of his requirements. And they were, it was a misdemeanor. Yes. I know that most of us know someone who's had a DUI or had a minor accident from a DUI or something like that. And certainly we don't think that they ought to be punished so severely that they would have to leave this country, leave their family, leave their children. Tell me, they arrested him, and then you had to, Josefina, maybe you would like to say, your husband came home and told you that your son had been arrested by ICE. What did you guys do?
¿Qué fue lo que ocurrió? ¿Qué pasó cuando ustedes se enteraron que Jonathan, su hijo, fue recogido por inmigración?
Pues estábamos en shock.
They were shocked.
Yes.
No sabíamos quién llamar.
They didn't know who to call.
Pedir ayuda.
Or help.
No sabíamos qué hacer.
I understand your employers helped you, though. Is that accurate?
Yes, que los empleados, los jefes de usted le han ayudado.
Oh, sí.
Yes, yes.
So when they found out about it, when you told them about it, what did they do?
Cuando usted le contó de la situación, ¿qué ocurrió? ¿Qué le dijeron?
Que ellos estaban en una posición donde cualquier cosa que necesitara yo, ellos me pueden ayudar.
They were willing to help in any situation, no circumstances, they were willing to help in any way possible.
Yeah, and I understand your employers as well, William. Yes. They even sent, they knew him and had employed him as Jonathan as well, and they sent a letter to the court. So we don't have a whole lot of time left, so what I want to say is he's been in detention, you have been in contact, you eventually found an attorney. Right. It was difficult because most attorneys said, sorry, with the DUI, we don't think we can do anything. He has so far had been scheduled for a hearing, but it's been delayed?
Yes, it was to be continued. It was set to that after the other court dates were just denied. Yeah. We try to put in applications, we try to do everything we can, but he's just being neglected in every single way.
I understand the conditions at the Northwest Detention Center are very bad. I wish we could go into that a little bit more, but I know he has been able to phone you. Has he been one of the hunger strikers, do you know?
I'm not sure about that. I don't believe so. I spoke to him about that. He mentioned something about that, but he says that since in the situation that I did see that, I don't think he is at all for what he told me.
Yep. And so now we're waiting for a June date for him to have a hearing.
Yes.
At the end of that hearing, could he be immediately deported?
Yes, yes. It could be very possible, yes.
And so that's what we're facing right now, and that's what families are facing. And Josefina, can you tell us if you have made any plans, do you have any relatives, anybody in Mexico, so that if Jonathan is deported despite your best work with an attorney, that you can help him when he goes?
¿Tiene planes usted de, tiene familiares o qué puede, o qué sabe usted hacer si eso pasa?
Pues hasta ahorita no sabemos qué hacer porque no tenemos a nadie. Estamos pensando a ver qué pasa ahorita.
Mostly has no plans right now since we don't have family members that could be there to help in any way. But yes, she does fear that if that happens, she doesn't know what could she do to help or what could happen to him.
So for you, the audience out there in KBOO, listening audience, you can see the difficulty, the very real personal difficulty that someone faces with deportation for something as minor as this. And you can, just to fill in a little bit more of the blanks, he does have a wife here, and he does have a child, an American citizen, and they would be deprived of the father and spouse, as well as the rest of his family here, his sister and his brother, William, his father, all being deprived of his company. These are very difficult circumstances, and according to the statistics I have, there's been 578 people deported in the last 6 months out of, since January, from Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. Those are the people going through the system at the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, and it's a 200% increase over last year, so we know they're moving them out quickly. Do you have any particular thing that a member of the audience could do to help support your son, Jonathan?
Yes, what we've been doing, and family members and people who we know, they just we've been telling them to call ICE at a number so they can help us give ICE a message that he's not a bad person. That's actually a great dad, a great friend, a great person to be around.
So they would call ICE at what number?
It would be at 253-779-6000, extension 14.
Extension 14. And Jonathan's last name, if they want to mention him?
Yes, that will be Jonathan Alcantara.
Alcantara.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. So if you've heard this story and you have an idea of what it would feel like if this was you and your son, your brother, in this circumstance and want to take action, please do. I'm an advocate, not just a journalist. I'm an advocate journalist, and I would say please call ICE 253-779.